Item number five, we're going to call up next, CPC 2006-86-89, GPA, ZC, HD, CU, ZAA, SPR, and Associate Environmental. We'll give staff a second to get ready. While they do, I just want to remind the commission that we heard this item previously and proceeded with the course of action. And I'd like a brief presentation from staff, if possible, and then I'd like us to see if we can come to a consensus rather quickly on this item, given our rather exhaustive previous discussions on it.
Okay. Good morning. I'm Debbie Lawrence with the Planning Department. The project's located at 805 to 823 South Catalina Street and 806-820 South Kenmore Avenue in the Koreatown area of the Wilshire Community Plan, and it's just south of 8th Street, across the street from the Robert F. Kennedy High School on the former Ambassador Hotel site. The project is a 27-story mixed-use building with 269 dwelling units and 7,500 square feet of commercial use. The total floor area proposed is 322,000 square feet on a site of about 54,000 square feet. So the current zoning is C2-1 and R4-2, and the land use designation is neighborhood office commercial and high medium residential. So as you mentioned, this project has been before you prior to today. On December 11th, the City Planning Commission disapproved and recommended that the City Council not adopt the project. However, it was approved by the Mayor and City Council, and on June 5th, 2015, Council instructed the Department of City Planning to prepare the necessary documents for a general plan amendment to the Wilshire Community Plan and a zoned height district change. As directed by City Council, staff has prepared the ordinance with conditions of approval and accompanying findings. Because planning staff recommended denial of the project, the zone change ordinance and the conditions of approval and findings were never before you, so they're here before you today. The Department of City Planning still recommends denial of the project as proposed, as it is not in harmony with the Wilshire Community Plan, nor is it consistent with good zoning practice. A 27-story building is still well above the 1 to 6-story buildings that characterize the area. Therefore, planning staff's recommendation for denial remains. And lastly, if the Planning Commission disagrees with staff's recommendation, your actions today are to adopt the findings and conditions of approval as included in the current staff report. So these are based on State SB 743, that says that the project is located in a transit-rich area within walking distance of transportation resources. For the Wilshire Community Plan, objective one is to reduce vehicular trips and congestion by putting new housing in close proximity to regional centers and encouraging higher density residential uses near major public transportation. So overall, the project can help meet local housing needs and reduce dependency on the automobile by locating housing near public transit services and employment. Thank you, and we can answer any questions.
Thank you very much. At this time, I'm going to open the public hearing so those who have filled out a speaker card can speak. I'll be calling your names in groups, so please come up and line up behind the podium. Brady Collins, Mario Perugino, Carol Francis Lickens, Paul A. Solomon, and Beverly Palmer. Please line up. Each of you will be given a minute to speak. Once you introduce yourself, good morning, go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Brady Collins. I'm speaking on behalf of the Koreatown Immigrant Workers Alliance, KIWA. I want to first thank the commission for your perspective on this project. It's a perspective that we share, as do our community members that we work with.
Yep. Oh, I know it's hard to remember, but get close to the mic and speak loudly, or we won't hear you.
Can I start over then?
Yes, you may. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Brady Collins. I'm speaking on behalf of the Koreatown Immigrant Workers Alliance, KIWA. I wanted to first thank the commission for your perspective on this project. It's a perspective that we share, as do many of our community members that we work with. We've spoken out against this project at numerous public hearings for the obvious reasons. As you know, it places a tremendous traffic burden on the densest neighborhood in Los Angeles. It's out of scale and scope of the surrounding area and contradicts the Wilshire Community Plan. And it places 269 market rate units in what is largely a low-income neighborhood in the midst of a affordability crisis. We obviously would like to see drastic changes in this project. Should it have to come to pass, we demand that there be some community benefits. We appreciate the developer has committed some funds into Council President Wesson's housing fund, and we'd like to see that invested in the surrounding community, be it in affordable housing or green and open space, to offset the negative impacts this will have on their quality of life. Thank you. And I have a letter from our ED I'd like to submit for the record.
Thank you. Good morning, sir. Come on up.
Good morning. My name is Mario Peregrino. I'm a resident of Koreatown. I've lived in this pretty much on the street where this project is going to be. I guess the mayor already approved it. I think I'm in complete opposition to this project. One, I think that no one in the neighborhood really knows that it's going to happen. I think that there are some people that are aware, everybody received the notice, but I've talked to plenty of business folks who are Spanish-speaking and Korean-speaking, and I really doubt that they understand that a 27-story building is going to be built on the block of 8th and Catalina. And I think it's a ridiculous proposal, given that Koreatown lacks green space immensely. I've lived in the neighborhood, and I've never seen, like, you know, anything this big, you know, ever be proposed. And I think it's going to be detrimental to, one, like, the students that are right across the street. There's a school, the Robert Kennedy Complex, right? There's, like, four schools there. And I think that it's going to cause pollution. It's going to be, you know, all the cars passing through. It's already dangerous to the kids there. So I hope that this doesn't go through.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Carl Francis Likens, and I live at 850 South Catalina. It's a lovely neighborhood. Would like to keep it that way. I'm speaking not only for myself, but for neighbors that I've talked to who are working people. I'm 67, so I'm retired, so I was able to be here, and a lot of other people would be here, and I'm speaking for them. The traffic is unimaginable. Imagining 269 new units at the end of my block is just incomprehensible. And I know that Wesson, my council person, who I usually like and respect, but he said that, well, we got to get used to it. LA's growing, and look at Olympic, it has big buildings just like this, and it's a few blocks away, and yeah. But if Councilperson Wesson doesn't know the difference between Olympic and the intersection of 8th and Catalina and Kenmore, he's got to walk through our neighborhood a little bit more, like we do. I walk. I own a car, but I walk, and I want to be able to continue walking around.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Paula Solomon, and I own a piece of property on the corner of James M. Wood and Catalina Street on the east side. And my parents bought that piece of property a great long time ago. I inherited it from them, and I'm the landlord of a three-story apartment building. And there are six apartments in the building, and I live in one of them on the top because I want to. And it's a really nice neighborhood. There are lots of trees. There are people walking. There are people that are walking their children in little child coaches. And there are people that just love the area. And I think that kind of building that's going to be on that corner, which, as my friend said, also will make it difficult for the students at the school. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd live on the top floor, too. Good morning.
Good morning. Beverly Palmer from Stromwasser and Wucher, speaking on behalf of Fix the City. The Planning Commission has already denied this project once. The applicant failed to appeal those denials, so per the strict the operation of the charter, this project is dead. It was dead when it went to City Council, and there is anything that has happened since that time is completely ultra virus. The mitigated negative declaration is inadequate. The MND, this traffic study, didn't even consider the impacts on neighborhood streets per the city's standard street segment analysis. It's not even addressed. The prior version of this project in 2009 admitted there would be a significant impact on those streets, and I think that the MND will be quickly overturned by a court if this project does go forward. As you've already recognized and as staff recognized, the zoning is totally inconsistent with all the surrounding development. The project is completely incompatible with this low-rise community. The general plan amendment creates an inconsistency with the general plan because it permits a regional center on streets designated local streets, which is impermissible under the transportation element, and it's just far too large for the location. Thank you.
Thank you. We received your letter. Good morning.
I'm Michael Hakim.
Are you trying to sneak in two speakers here?
Well, Lexi is the future of LA.
Low blow. Go ahead, introduce yourself. You'll have a minute to address us.
And as you know, the history of Los Angeles, with the iconic ambassador now disappeared from the sites of this once thriving neighborhood of the heyday of Los Angeles, we would consider that you guys approve this project with the support of the council and many other neighbors and associations within that neighborhood to really look to the heart and soul of Los Angeles and to see this new project to be the iconic Ambassador Homes apartments for the future of Los Angeles, and to see that we are here as a community to address the negativity over the 100 years of this neighborhood, who we are now dealing with rapists and pedophiles around the school, with gangs and MS-13, all types of dangerous components, prostitution in the nearby hotels. There's nonstop degrading activity that goes around this project in this neighborhood. And we as investors are cleaning this up with a new project, and we appreciate your support.
Thank you, sir. Does she want to address us? No, she's asleep. Jealous. Good morning, and thank you for that. There you are. Can you do me a favor and fill out a speaker card for this portion? I don't know if yours translated over. Were you in general comments?
I was in general and asked for it to be number five.
Grace. Grace, you're going to have a minute to address us with your thoughts on this project.
Thank you, commissioners. Thank you, planning department, employees, and staff, for doing the right thing and denying this project, which is completely out of scale and character for the neighborhood. And if you look at this MND that they are saying needs to be approved in 2006, mind you, that doesn't include the opening of the RFK schools and the traffic, and not to mention the other 20 plus new developments that have occurred. I'm only here opposing this 27-story Catalina project because it's on a residential street. It makes no sense, and I really want to applaud the commissioners here for denying this unanimously. I know it takes some courage to do the right thing at times, and I really am grateful, and I hope you will stick to that. I understand that it may and most likely will be overturned by City Council, but let them do what they need to do, and then there will be attorneys coming forward to pursue justice. Thank you so much.
Thank you. With that, I have a card for the applicant here, but I just want to be thoughtful for a second and get a little consult from our Michael Bostrom and Lisa Weber. I have a card from the applicant. The applicant's not. Okay. Oh, you're the developer. Thank you. I didn't realize that. You were in the wrong folder.
Do you want to give them more time?
That's what I'm asking.
Typically, your practice is to give the applicant additional time to explain the project.
Just so, for an overabundance of caution.
Just focus on the
project. Mike Hackham, did you want to present on this project? I mean, that was a question you should have asked an hour ago. I appreciate that, but let me get to my question first, because I get to. Do you want to present on this project? Yes or no? Okay. Do you want to say anything else? I did not realize that you were the applicant. You were in general comments folder. I think I should be there, by the way, James. It was all me. So So did you want to have an additional 2 minutes to address specifics on this project as opposed to kind of more broad statements that you said before?
Beautiful. Do you guys want to hear more about the project? Because I may need a little more time.
No, we don't. It's up to you if you want to have time as an applicant. I feel like we've heard a lot about this project and we've had a full hearing previously, but I want to be respectful and give you the time that is owed as the applicant to present if you so choose to.
Well, to begin with, I'm a little confused why we're back here considering the council already approved the project. But I understand there's some conditions that we're not on there.
Hold on.
Please.
So, Mike, you're going to work with me. I'm going to give you 3 minutes to present on this project. Is that sufficient?
So you would like me to present?
No, I would like to not have you present, but it's your option to present. So would you like to present on this project?
If the city or the guests here would like to hear more about the project?
This is not American Idol. Yes or no, would you like to present on this project? There's no audience participation with voting. Why don't I give you 3 minutes and see what you want to talk about? That way we have kind of a time frame within which you can share additional thoughts or opinions or information about this project. Would that be sufficient?
Please.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
The Ambassador Homes are just south of the iconic Ambassador site, which is now home for RFK Schools, the largest school in the community. We have a 27-story approved, originally at 35 stories. We reduced that. And in the hopes of bringing continuity to the city of LA, in this location, we're close to a neighborhood metro stop, the schools, and we've learned through the investments of Colony Holdings and learning that the neighborhood is in lack of new updated housing. So we've came across this site, assembled the location to really create an urban atmosphere to have people walk. It's the most dense neighborhood in town, if not in the country. And we've really made attempts to put in, you know, a lot of energy efficient voluntarily because we did put this in 2006. So we took in the concept of this iconic, beautiful ambassador theme, but with homes that are really limited in this neighborhood with all types of LEED type from the environmental for the landscape design to neighboring property. We've even thought of reducing the setback to lower the height even as a consideration. So there are other people that were concerned about it. But really, in the hopes of creating this iconic location, we want to bring the attention back to Mid-Wilshire because this is the center of our community. And it's been left out, if you really think about it. The project has enough parking. It has enough units with a podium deck, amenity deck with a swimming pool, a gym, all types of great facilities. And what's fantastic was that we have a property next door that we were willing to accommodate a housing affordability, like a Section 8. However, we were offered the option of the community fund of $1 million and another $250,000 to another fund. And so we've committed that as part of our approval. And if the city and the council and the other neighborhood organization that would like some funding to one of their projects, I think that there could be an arrangement met amongst them. But that's something that the housing authority has. And they have a lot of funds. They collect a lot of money every year from the LA Housing Department, from all the property owners. There is discretionary funding. So we would really look the commission to peek into the LAHD and see where they're spending their money and to put affordability as in addition to the, you know, continual, you know, people living on the community streets. You know, neighboring properties that I currently do own have that issue. So the city should really look, and they are. They're working very hard from the police department and everything. So we're really excited.
I want to be respectful of you, sir, but
please.
You're two steps from talking about the Magna Carta here. On this project, is there anything additional you'd like to share with us? I know the city's working hard on any number of issues. Believe me, we're
sure.
deeply engaged in that.
Excellent.
But on this specific project, aside from the soliloquies on all of these things you're talking about. Is there anything else in maybe two additional minutes that you'd like to address that would bring you to a total of six on this project? Or are you good? It's up to you.
I would like to hear questions from you guys, if you'd like to, that I could answer for you as a part of the project to
all
address
right.
any concerns.
So, no, and I'm now, thank you for that, sir. At this time, staff, did you want to make any comments or responses to any of the public testimony or the applicant's thoughts?
Unless you have specific questions about the comments that were made, I will not respond directly to them.
Okay. I have one broad question for you. This is David Ambrose, and I appreciate that.
Oh, and this is Debbie Lawrence. Sorry.
Thank you. I appreciate that I'm going to just use privilege here. Has anything changed since we last reviewed this project?
No.
Okay. Thank you
for Except that. For the conditions of approval, which were included in your packet, and that included the affordable housing contribution condition.
Thank you for that clarification. Okay, very good.
David,
yes.
Procedural question?
You will. Give me 1 second. So let me just make sure I'm following my process here. Staff has made it. At this time, I'm going to close the public hearing and open the discussion to commissioner deliberations. And Robert Ahn, you have a technical question, and I will go to you first.
Yeah, during public comment, we had Ms. Palmer, I think she's an attorney. She raised a procedural issue. I just want to get clarification on that. An appeal was not filed, and so what is the impact?
So I'm going to ask Michael Bostrom to respond to this first. So, Michael, we received her testimony today with regards to Fix the City. Is there anything you can advise us? I'd rather the legal interpretation come from city attorney.
I believe that it's a little bit of a confusion in terms of this is coupled with an initiation of a GPA in addition to a zone change. And so I think that needs to be considered. A general plan amendment was initiated, and that was initiated, my understanding is, by the director and perhaps as well as the City Planning Commission. And so initiation of general plan amendments do not die when they are initiated by the director. And it seems to me that perhaps there was a commingling of that initiation by the director and perhaps the zone change,
Thank
which
you.
Might bring it outside of the parameters of what she was talking about.
Thank you.
It'll be litigated, though.
Thank you. Commissioner Segura, I'm going to start on my left. Do you have any questions or comments?
Yeah, I have maybe a question for Michael Bostrom. How common is it to request a general plan amendment so that a project could be approved? I mean, my understanding is that this was, the project originally was not consistent with the general plan and the community plan in this area, the 2735 stories, but that council requested a general plan amendment so that they could rezone it so that it could fit within that community. How common is that? Is that a precedent setting, or has that happened frequently?
Michael. So maybe that's more of a Lisa question
okay,
from planning
good.
Department
I apologize.
In terms
maybe.
Of precedence. I think the city attorney can help us understand code, but maybe in terms of a generic anecdotal interpretation of the question.
So this is Lisa Weber, Deputy Director with the City Planning Department. General plans and our land use maps for the community plans are living, breathing documents.
Mm-hmm.
Property owners have the opportunity to come to the City of Los Angeles to request a general plan amendment. That amendment can only be initiated through three different ways, through the Director of Planning. The City Planning Commission could make a policy directive to initiate a general plan amendment, and it also could be done by a council office through full City Council mm-hmm. in the form of a motion. Today we have a very extensive pre-vetting process. We have it's called a general plan initiation process that we do internally through the Department of City Planning to ensure that anything that moves forward is in the realm of reason for some level of consideration. This general plan amendment was initiated a long time ago. We understand that there's paperwork in the file that shows that it was initiated by the Director of Planning. There's also some paperwork that the City Planning Commission initiated it as well. likely under the director's authority doing that on behalf of the City Planning Commission.
When you say a long time ago, was that?
Well, back in, I believe the date of the application is 2006, so it was quite some time ago. I guess the point I'm making it is it was long before we had the procedures that we have today.
And before we had the applicant submit his development.
Well, the request for a general plan amendment came at the same time as the developer approached the city, engaging us and asking us for us to consider a package of entitlements.
I guess I'm just trying to understand, because I read that in the staff's report that the city council requested a general plan amendment in order for this case to fit the community plan. That's how I understood what I was reading in the report.
Debbie Lawrence, City Planning. What was requested was that we make findings for approval and do conditions and do the general plan amendment. And council requested that of us.
I see.
After the, and there's a section of the charter, section 558, that says if the City Planning Commission recommends against approval of the proposed ordinance, order, or resolution, and the matter has been initiated by the council, the council may take action on the matter without an appeal, and that's what Michael Bostrom was explaining, that we did have paperwork that shows that the director had an application for initiation of a general plan amendment.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Commissioner Mack?
I'm trying to understand something. We have previously considered this case, and of course we previously taken a position of rejecting the excuse me. On the other hand, the city council, the mayor, have now approved it. And if I'm understanding correctly, we've been requested to prepare an ordinance that would include these conditions of approval. I guess I'm trying to understand.
Mr. Mack, you're asking, why is it back with us?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Briefly, Michael, you can explain why it's back with us.
I think we've made our point previously, and I'm pretty sure the Councilor Mayor, why are we, it seems to me, why are we not just prepared to prepare the ordinance, as requested, with including those conditions, unless we find the conditions unacceptable?
Yeah, I think Michael's going to explain it to us.
Very simply, when this came before you last time, the planning department recommended a denial.
Yep.
Because they were recommending a denial, they did not prepare an actual ordinance for you to see and deliberate on, because they were recommending denial. When it went to council, apparently there's an interest in approving the project. Under the charter, all ordinances governing land use must be reviewed by the City Planning Commission. Now, while it was described to you, you talked about the project, you did not actually have a draft ordinance in front of you. So that is being fixed at this point in time. So you have the draft ordinance in front of you in your packet, and if council sees fit, council could then move forward under the charter to adopt that ordinance.
Thank you. So, Mr. Max, does that satisfy you? Basically, it's a technical aspect of the planning code which requires us to take action again. Anything else, Mr. Mack?
No.
Okay. Mr. Katz? Commissioner Dake-Wilson?
This is Renee Dake-Wilson. I just want to make one comment relative to what the applicant said during his presentation. He alluded to up to a $1.25 million fund that he's giving to the council member for... it's unrelated to this case specifically. I would like to anecdotally add that the rule of thumb for affordable housing unit provision is $100,000 can be leveraged for an affordable housing unit through state funding. So that would mean 12 and a half affordable housing units, which if there are 270 units in this project, that would be 4.6%. If this were a project, what I'm trying to say is that is nothing close to providing, I'm not asking for you to speak actually, that does nothing close to represent any affordable housing or density bonus that the zone change is in contrast to the existing zoning as we spoke about in our previous meeting. So this funding does nothing close, whether it's, it does nothing close to the existing zoning and the out-of-scale nature of the building. Thank you.
Commissioner Ahn.
Yes, well, you know, this, Mr. Mack, I agree, it's been very confusing, but I think we have a little bit more clarity. It looks like it's just a technicality, a formality that we have before us, and so I think I'm prepared to move forward. Just want to make a couple comments to Mr. Hakim, and I think nobody questions the investment that you're making to the community, but I think an issue that we keep hearing over and over again is the scope and the scale of the project. That's the number one concern that we've heard. I want to encourage you to continue to work with the community and address their concerns, and if it comes in the form of a community benefits package, please listen and be responsive towards their needs and concerns. Thank you.
Commissioner Millman.
I was not on this commission when this was first deliberated, but I took the time to listen to the deliberations, and I think this commission did the right thing the first time, and I'm prepared to stand by that decision.
Thank you. I would echo my commissioner's comments. I stand by my earlier comments, and I would entertain a motion at this time.
I'll second.
Mr. Katz moves the staff recommendation. We have a second from Robert Ahn. Michael Bostrom, is that sufficient? Is there excellent? James, we have a first and second. Would you please call for the vote?
Certainly. Commissioner Katz.
Yes.
Commissioner Ahn.
Yes.
Commissioner Mack.
Yes.
Commissioner Millman.
Yes.
Commissioner Segura. Yes. Commissioner Dake Wilson.
Yes.
Commissioner Ambrose.
Yes.
The motion carries.